Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the number one Warriors and Lakers combined show on the internet, because I'm pretty sure there's not another one. We are the BLA Podcast, your home for everything Lakers, Warriors, and news from around the association. I'm your Lakers guy, Austin Sexton, with the full cast today. You haven't seen in a while. Get to know the homies. We got Roman, we got Brock, we got Casey Benz. How you guys doing?
Good, good.
Very good.
Brock repping with the Robinson Bucks jersey, throwback champion. And you know it's a fire one when it's a champion jersey, because those are the true OG. If you're a millennial, you just get it.
Thank you. I said it's good for the beach. It wicks the sand right off. I frolic in the sand when I'm there.
Well, yeah, it's good to have everybody in for the show. It's been a while since we've had everybody in. So good to have you all here. If you haven't subscribed yet or checked us out, make sure to leave us a 5-star rating, give us a review, give us a comment, give us a thumbs up. Whatever it is you got to do, just do it, because we're just four guys who like to talk hoops and want to talk it with you. So keep us on the internet, even though I'm pretty sure we'll be here regardless. But come on and hang out. So let's dive right into it. It's an NBA Cup night. And although the Lakers are hosting the Jazz tonight, and the Lakers are absolutely probably should beat the Jazz, the real talk of the NBA Cup tonight, I want to get away from Lakers and Warriors real quick. This Celtics-Cavs game is going to be phenomenal. I think I'm even more excited to watch that, because I think the Cavs are for real, man. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's the one to watch tonight for sure.
Still undefeated against another contender in the East. And I think the Celtics are currently the 2 seed.
Yeah, Cleveland at 1 undefeated. They would be 16-0 tonight if they ended up. Yeah, 16-0 if they beat the C's. Which, you know, it's always fuck Boston over this way. True. Yes, Brock, you've got a question or an answer or a response.
Is Tristan Thompson the new Udonis Haslam?
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's just there for like
the vibes.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 100% here back in 2016, bro. This is how we did it. We had a big puzzle, and we put the pieces in the puzzle, and everyone was like,
oh. "That's."
Everett, round of applause for him. Round of applause.
All right, I was gonna say that probably actually, we're talking 2016. That actually probably hurts the Warrior side of this. But you know what? What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. You know. But yes, Tristan Thompson absolutely is the Udonis Haslam of the Cleveland Cavaliers. What were you going to say?
He just needs a shout out, man. He's there. He comes in for like 10 seconds, fouls somebody, and just sets the fucking tone. Like, let him go.
Yeah. Side note, actually, on Tristan Thompson, he did play the one stint with, I guess it was 2020, when the Lakers went to the Western Conference Finals, which would have been 2 years ago, we had him on our team. And we brought him in on game four when we were about to get swept. When we were on the verge of getting swept, we did get swept. But that game four, we brought him in, and he actually held his own against the Joker. I don't know if it was just because it was another big body, but Tristan Thompson probably, what, at that point, probably age 36. I think he's probably 38 now. Wow. Was banging with him. So, you know, shout out our boy Tristan Thompson.
Listen, Tristan, TT knows how to bang, my dude.
Tristan Thompson is 33 years old.
I said he was 36. Yes, we absolutely are a credible news source here on the internet. Tristan Thompson is 36 years old.
Tristan Thompson, I remember
the internet lies. He's 38.
Back in my day, he had always had like the little push shot floater that just looked kind of crazy, but somehow it would always just go in. You don't know how he got the boards, but he did.
To be fair, he plays like a 38-year-old.
Yes, that is true.
Is Imani Bates getting minutes?
I don't think so.
Damn.
Not yet, I don't believe. But before we get into, I just wanted to side note that I'm really excited for that TNT game. Before we get into that, and before we get into the Lakers, let's just talk about the Warriors real quick, because I feel like we'll probably be a Lakers heavy show, considering that they're the 7 o'clock game tonight. Warriors finally took an L. I still think they're on track to do great things, but the Warriors did fall to the Clippers, 102-99. Casey, Roman, what were your thoughts on the game, guys? I didn't get a chance to watch it, but I saw it was a nail biter right down to the end.
They just can't be splitting free throws at the line. It's just every guy is just 1 for 2 on attempts. It's brutal to watch. And then turnovers. It's just silly, silly turnovers, bad passes. not accurate and sloppy play. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's pretty much a recipe for a loss. It's surprising that they lost only by like a possession, really. But yeah, I think they were like sub 50% from the line. If they make half, you know, like if they make not half their free throws, but if they made all their free throws, they win the game.
They were 9 for 19.
The yes. Warriors were 9 for 19
at the line. Throws. Yeah, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. Sounds like you gotta switch that lineup.
Yeah, we need yeah. a new lineup somewhere. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure you'll get one. I'm sure of it.
This is my all free throw lineup.
Could it's you imagine? This is another excuse to get Anthony Lamb more minutes. I was listening back to that pod today. I was telling the guys earlier that I listened back to our last episode, which was later in the week last week. It was a crazy weekend. A lot of us were tied up, so we haven't had a chance to get on. This is our first time reconvening, but it was a really good episode. And yeah, if you guys haven't got a chance to go through, you should go back and listen to it. If you're just, you know, aimlessly walking around, need something to listen to. Great footage there, or great content as well. But yeah, that's tough, man. But I would assume that you guys, I haven't looked at the standings. I have ESPN up right now just because I wanted to look at the depth chart for the Jazz for the game tonight. But it's looking like you guys are number two now. I feel like it's going to be back and forth between you guys and OKC, considering you're a half game back. So, especially with Chet out, I mean, you guys, if you can continue what you're doing, you're looking pretty hefty with a game and a half ahead of everybody else. With the Lakers bumping up to the 3 seed, currently a game and a half back of the 1 and 1 full game in back of you guys at the 2.
Yeah, I mean, the West is always going to be super competitive, and it's going to be a tight race. The Rockets are really hot right now, so they're going to be an interesting watch for the standings. Yeah, the Warriors have a shot. It's just getting a little bit more consistent at the line would help them greatly. But I mean, I'll take 10-3 any day. This has been a great start for the season, and I'm more than happy with the overall product that I've seen on the court.
Yeah, man. Be nasty. How you feeling about things, bro? I feel like,
bro, they ain't lying. These Warriors boys, only 2 people are above 80 on the squad.
Really? Yeah. I'm gonna guess it's probably Curry and Pods.
No, healed.
Buddy.
Yeah, dude. Like Draymond 69, Wiggins 72, Kyle Anderson, shout out the homie, 71, Kevon at 60. Like this is atrocious. Moses Moody at 71. No more Moody minutes. Get him out.
No. It's too early. It's too early for that. It's too early for that call.
It's too early for that one.
No, Kuminga being what is his 60. Percentage? 60.
60.
That guy is constantly driving to the rim, getting contact, getting to the line, 60%.
Dude. These are a bunch of
10-3 with that, you know, with those percentages that you just listed out.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's atrocious. But we're talking about, and I know we keep talking about it, but like the more that we do this, the more it's going to become less and less of an excuse, but it's such a small sample size, you know, like it's just kind of like plus minus, you know, it doesn't really matter until you get to the end of the year when you get the overall average. Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, definitely it could be a cause of concern for sure. I haven't gotten a chance to really dive in and check out all the Warriors games yet, but like, I don't know. I also saw that Draymond had a play that ended up going to a flagrant 1, and they were discussing on a lot of the big ESPN sports talk shows today about how he probably should have been suspended because it was a career-ending possible injury on somebody's Achilles. Is this true?
Are they referencing the Zach Edey one?
Yeah, they're referencing the Zach Edey. Yeah.
Him, like, holding his foot as he's trying to move. Like, here's the thing. That's not the first time that's happened in a basketball game. It's just the first time, or it's just another time that Draymond's name is getting thrown across all these big media names and just for content, just to talk about Draymond in right. the same light that they've always known him to be in the media spotlight. Yeah,
I agree.
It's all just a little ridiculous, in my opinion.
It's overblown. A bit of a reaction.
Yeah, I didn't see the play. I actually do want to check it out, but I don't want to, you know, throw any analyst names and stuff out there, but one of the bigger, you know, talk shows were talking about it today, and they were just like, yeah, it could have been way worse than it was, and we just know him. This isn't the first time this has happened. It continuously happens over and over and over again. And that makes me think to myself, like, I think you're pushing it too far because of incidences that have happened in the past. This is the first time this year. But, you know, I didn't see it, so I wasn't sure from your guys' perspective if it was cause for concern or not. So
it's not like he grabbed his foot and like tried to manipulate the Achilles and like dig in there and do anything. He just held his foot as he was moving. Like,
yeah,
gotcha. Again, it's not the first time that's happened on a basketball court. It's just because it's Draymond that they have an excuse to talk about it and make it in the spotlight.
Yeah, it's not the first time that's happened on a basketball court. It won't be the last time. And it wasn't as bad as, like, say, like, the Sabonis incident where he, like, stepped on his chest. Like, that was bad.
I like that. It's the Sabonis incident.
Actually.
I think we all know what I'm talking about.
Did I say that to you guys the other day? The Draymond Green, like, WWE highlight reel? And it's got all the sound effects, like with the Sabonis incident and then like kicking LeBron and the whole Rudy Gobert.
I need to see that. I don't know if I saw that.
The more I watched like the Rudy Gobert one, is like the more I noticed is Draymond coming out of like left field.
Nowhere, man.
Straight for Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert's just trying to like de-escalate the situation. Draymond comes in, immediately locks him in.
That was crazy. So a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was last week, Brock sent me this list, right? And I wanted to go through some of it because we hadn't gotten a chance to kind of, I hadn't even brought it up to you guys because I wanted to save it for the pod. And I feel like we could all answer respectively because, you know, we all have our teams and whatnot, but I'll let Brock handle most of it. But one of them, I just wanted to bring up now because we're into it. You know, the Warriors are having a good season. One of the things on his list was who are the top five underrated Warriors right now? And I don't know, Brock, if you meant this like all time or if you meant this season, but I think it might be a good question for the season that's going on right now.
Of all time.
What do you think's a better debate, all time or this season as it currently stands?
I mean, clearly they fucking missed Kevin Durant's free throw percentage. Dear Lord, these are like the little niches that like you don't think about until it's gone, and like Iguodala and I don't know. It just it feels weird that the Warriors got old. It makes me feel old that the Warriors are old. And now we're like depending on these young bucks who don't want to step up. Doesn't that feel like, I understand they're 10-3 or whatever, but what are we seeing here out of them? Like, where is the Sean Livingston of this squad? I need like a pop. But I just dropped three Warriors names in consecutively that I miss. So
yeah,
that's my stance.
I mean, they've always brought in veterans to kind of fill that like gap between the young guys that they're also trying to develop at the same time, especially in this like recent like few years. Kyle Anderson is someone that they're relying on a lot for ball handling and just overall defense because they're just an undersized team. But yeah, they had to bring in Buddy Hield to add a scoring punch. That was super important for them this offseason, is just replacing Clay.
He's doing so well. Shout out Buddy Hield for like coming into an impossible situation and performing.
Yeah.
Shout out Buddy Love.
Dude, Buddy Love got it.
Who was on that 2015? His name started with it. I think his last name started with an X, like Xavier or something. God, I can't remember. There was, I don't know, I forget. There was just like this super big dude. He's either a power forward or a center. 2015. Let's take the X out of it. Why can't I remember his name? No, not Andrew Bogut. Andrew, that's a throwback for sure.
Yeah.
Dude, always hit his free throws.
He was like a Draymond type, like super tough.
2015.
Jordan Poole.
mean, are you thinking Brandon Rush?
No.
This
is good. No, it wasn't Festus Ezeli, but that is a super underrated warrior as well.
Man, these are
James McAdoo.
No, hold on.
Are we Spates?
Mo Spates. That's it. Mo Spates.
Spates.
Mo Spates.
Yeah, Mo, that was my
Mo
guess.
Buckets. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, Mo Buckets for sure.
Had the frame of Zach Randolph and the touch of like Kyrie. Mo Spates with this let it go.
That corner three was pretty unstoppable.
So angry. Looked like he could punch your grandma if he decided.
Yeah, he just always looked mad. I feel like that's where like Draymond became Draymond. Like Draymond is running because Mo Spades walked. That's how I feel. I just don't know if that actually works. That's just the way I feel. I don't know if the math's mathing, but that's how I feel.
There's definitely a bit of that energy carryover. Yeah. Of aggression.
Okay, that's my perfect example. Mo Spates was like, Draymond, this is how you play angry but constructively, right? And he was like, cool, right. I got you. Why isn't that happening again?
Oh, yeah, okay, I see. Like, he carried the torch.
Yeah.
And now, like, who did Sean pass it on? Like, who passed it on from Sean and so forth? I get what you're saying.
Why are these dudes not developing? Like, Kuminga's 36 years old, like Tristan Thompson. They're the same age.
Yes, yes.
He's been there since 97. What is he doing except shooting 60% from the line?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing looking at the Warriors culture from the standpoint of like these veterans that they've had, this core three that's now just the core two. No one wants to play to the extreme that Draymond plays to because of all the foul troubles, technicals, and especially, you know, how he's viewed in the spotlight of the media these days.
Yeah.
And Steph is this very, like, he separates himself from the group in, like, this egoless way of a superstar where he's, like, not this dominating presence, like, demanding things from players. It's a very kind of, like, open and everyone kind of plays their own style and Steve Kerr's just going to make it work somehow.
Right.
And it's worked up to a point, but, I mean, yeah, to like, the development of other players and how they're also being taught that culture, it's like, yeah, you can play the way you want, but like you also need to work within a system, and I'm not sure if that system is so like concrete and set for the Warriors, because like just looking at the first two lineups that the Warriors play, like there's the Steph Curry's the offense lineup and then it's Kuminga get to the line and hopefully score at least 2 to 3 points, and I don't know if there's that like consistent voice or presence in the locker room right now that's kind of guiding that type of development. Because I haven't seen it a lot. I mean, Jordan Poole was the only person that I saw really take anything, and that was just from Steph.
I got a question.
Ask away.
Do you think, like, obviously Steph is a Warriors legend, right? But like, what were his bad times? Him like hurting his ankle and not playing, right?
Yeah.
The very beginning. I feel like this is gonna sound crazy, but like work with me through this. He's not beloved because he's had it easy.
Steph is not beloved because he's had it easy.
Does that make sense? Like, we love Michael Jordan because he got his ass whipped by the Celtics and Pistons, right?
I think
we love LeBron because he kept coming back. He came back from 3-1. Why? Like, Steph has this, like, baby complex. I don't know.
I can see what you're saying in the sense of, like,
niche. Very niche.
I get you. I think that the younger generation, I think the generation below us probably idolizes Steph more than they would idolize LeBron. I think that to us, so I think that the millennial generation probably, like Casey Roman, I don't know how you guys feel, but like LeBron, we never gone into it, but LeBron is my GOAT, okay? So I think that—
Are we here?
Like,
are we going in?
We're not, it's not time for that. It's not time for that. But like LeBron is my GOAT. But I think that like Stephen Curry is second place to that because of the fact that like of all the times that LeBron and him face each other, like Steph has defeated him in the finals more times. LeBron just has had a bigger impact on basketball and a bigger impact on like overall winning, right? Overall points scored and whatnot. But Steph just did it in such a rapid rate. He did it in such a more aesthetically pleasing way to everybody. But at the same time, yes,
do you know Steph hasn't. He took a back seat to Kevin Durant where LeBron took Dwayne Wade's driving seat. It was like, give me that. And I think that's where it got lost.
I also think that if we take it back to like 2016 to 2018, if we go to the four Warriors Cavs back to backs, right? The narrative was always that LeBron had to beat the better team. It was never that Steph had to beat LeBron. It was LeBron had to beat Steph because those teams were always like stacked. So I think that the narrative push was pushed more towards LeBron was having to overcome the mountain where Steph was already at the top of the mountain because of his team. So Steph never had like the iconic moment. And if you would, like, I feel like you guys would probably argue the 2022 championship. I say that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown were still pups.
I mean, I would say 2015 championship for the Warriors.
Yeah. Because I mean, that first one is always going to mean like the most, because that is you getting to the mountaintop and claiming that, that seat at the top.
Right.
And
I agree with that. Yeah. The first one. So you think that the narrative the first time around was LeBron going back to Cleveland. I can't remember. Were the Cavs the favorite to win that?
I'm pretty sure.
Probably going.
They probably would have been. Yeah. Okay. Because I remember Cavs were up 2-1, right? And then you guys like just came back.
Yeah. There was it being a pretty back and forth series.
I'm pretty sure you guys won 4-2.
Iguodala.
Yeah, no, it was a six game.
Yeah, I think it was the because that was the Delhi series. So
So
Cavs ended up going up 2-1 because that's when LeBron like slammed the ball down. It was like on the Warrior court, and then you guys won 3 straight. I'm pretty sure that's what happened
because Kyrie and Kevin were out.
Shout out Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah.
Clown town. But yeah, I mean this is a good conversation for another time. Absolutely.
You just burned Kelly Olynyk on the way out the door?
Yeah, absolutely, because he messed up Kevin Love's shoulder.
That's true.
Fuck Kelly Olynyk. Yeah, I said it.
And he probably has you introduced this podcast like number one Lakers Warriors podcast because there is no other. I'm sure Kelly Olynyk's gonna make one now. Fuck you guys.
All right, we'll turn to the Tides into some Lakers stuff. We got a big game tonight. We are 9-4 currently. Kind of crazy that we're 9-4 right now. At the beginning, if you've been following since the jump, if you're new, if you're old, whatever, we've been talking about it since the beginning. None of us predicted that the Lakers or the Warriors would be where they're at right now, standings wise. We were all kind of predicting anywhere from like 6-10. Some people, Roman, were even talking about the Spurs being 3. I don't know what happened. But anyway, the Lakers right now with the 3 seed are taking on the Jazz at 3-10 of the NBA Cup. We are going to reveal our NBA Cup floor tonight. We are not doing our NBA Cup jerseys, our alternates. They're going to be on Thursday. They're going to be super sick. No update as of right now. As of right now, we're recording at 2:24 p.m., which is 5:24 on the East Coast. We don't know if Rui is going to play or not. He is currently questionable. Seawood, Vando are still out. Cam Reddish will be playing tonight, as well as D'Lo and Cardio Gabe. So, yes, that is what he is religiously known as around these parts. Old Cardio Gabe. So my first thought, I don't know about you guys, the only real serious matchup that I'm going to be looking at is AD versus Lauri Markkanen. What do you guys think? I know there's Jordan Clarkson. I know there's Walker Kessler, but he's actually out. So I don't know what's going on with their lineups or who they're playing. As far as players go, but that's what I'm really looking at.
Yeah, I mean, you might want to watch out for any Jordan Clarkson on D'Angelo Russell matchups.
Oh yes, this is very true.
But other than that, I think this should be an easy win for the Lakers, and I believe the Lakers are on quite a win streak right now. So
yeah, we're up 5. But the thing is if you watch Laker games. Right now, the over-under is 10.5. If you watch Laker games, take the under. Just always take the under. Because somehow, we always end up – we play to our competition. So we let the bad teams in and we play well with the good teams. It's always a close one. I don't understand why. Also, on the scouting – or not on the scouting report, on the injury report, huge update right now. Bronny James is doubtful. Bronny James is doubtful. I don't know if we're going to see him tonight. So
he's shooting 100% from the line.
You guys want him on the Warriors? I mean,
we should have drafted him.
Listen, we'll give you Bronny and a pick for Pods and Wiggins.
There you go.
Yeah, that's value. I'm not gonna lie though, I saw some highlights from Bronny at the last G League game. He looked good.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about? I think he only had 6 points. Are you talking about the most recent one when Quincy Oliveri went off for 24?
I think the most recent one, but. Yeah, I think I don't know. He looked good for me.
Dude, and they play in like LA Fitnesses. It's pretty cool.
No.
that gym looks crazy.
that's actually crazy.
Oh, but on a real note, this is one of these classic LeBron GM games where he's going to watch Lauri Markkanen and he's going to watch everyone else and be like, who can I trade for this dude?
There's Utah's not taking anything back. It's Danny Ainge, number one. So first off, I think it's crazy that Danny Ainge
Watch the tweets after this game. He's gonna be like, that boy Lauri go hard.
Yeah.
Hashtag that boy from Akron. Hashtag
Hashtag James Gang.
Dude, this is LeBron GM post-game Twitter fucking, I thought Lauri Markkanen looked really nice. Ooh, Jordan Clarkson playing real hard.
I knew he was going to have a good night tonight.
Exactly. Yeah.
They got a real good one over there with Lauri. He's an absolute animal. You know, it's really hard to contain him.
What's the guy in the cult?
Oh, well, that I was actually about to go to it. He is a starter. Kyle Filipowski.
Yeah, fill this cult up real quick. He's gonna be saying some prayers for the ball to go in, and it just might.
So the starters for tonight is Keyonte George, Colin Sexton, no relation, but if he did somehow go to the Lakers, I would get the jersey. Lauri Markkanen, Kyle Filipowski, and then probably John Collins, to be honest with you. Or maybe even Drew Eubanks. I'm not 100% sure. Also, did you guys know that Patty Mills is on the Jazz?
Yes, St. Mary's legend.
Yeah.
He's still going crazy.
Australian?
Yeah. I mean, shout out Greg Popp. Shout out Spurs. Shout out SATX.
Shout out that one year with Brooklyn, and he was like leading the team with Durant.
Oh, yeah, that is true. He was a three-point specialist that year. Corner three was crazy.
Playoff Patty is what they called him in the streets.
Oh, not to be confused with Playoff P, because it's two different things.
Two different things. One's got championships.
Hey, I like that Colin Sexton played that Alabama game 2-on-5 or whatever, and that's just become his personality for life. He's just a dog at all times.
Crazy eyes just looking around, people like, let's go.
Dude. Love him. Has like the 90s rat tail from time to time. I think it's a clip on. I'm not really sure.
Could be.
But I love him. Rat
tail. Could be. It's looking like based off of the starters tonight, it's probably going to be LeBron on Kyle Filipowski, AD on Lauri. And it's funny, they have Lauri Markkanen at small forward.
That's
which
crazy.
Which is wild that they haven't listed it.
Isn't he like a 7-footer?
Yeah, I think he's 7'7" or either 7 foot or 7'1". And Colin Sexton and Keyonte George. So kind of diving into the Lakers side of things. I don't know if you guys got to check out the last game. Dalton Knecht absolutely went off. We have ourselves a guy to the point where Lakers fans, a lot of Lakers analysts are questioning whether or not he should actually be in the starting lineup. I don't agree. I don't think he's there yet. Defensively, he's not a cone, but his lateral movement is not where it needs to be yet. And you could tell that it's a part of every team's game plan when they play the Lakers. If Dalton is in the game, get the person who is being guarded by Dalton the ball, or switch onto him and just hunt
at him
and just hunt the basket. So,
LA Fitness, bro.
Yeah, but then he makes up for it on the 3-point end at 40%. Actually shooting about 41% right now from three.
Wait, this is really good. But this is why JJ is having the same problems as D-Ham, because you can't play him and D-Lo together. So then you bring in Cardio Gabe, who's a size liability.
Yeah.
And you're like, what, who do I pair with this dude? Do you run LeBron at the point with Dalton?
So I was listening to a show that was dropping some statistics today. I don't remember exactly what they were off the top of my head. I actually wanted to listen, check them out before we got into this. But Gabe and D'Lo together is a positive net rating on the floor, ironically enough. But it only happens, based off of what you said, when Gabe Vincent is in there playing defense as well. So you have to have a lineup of Gabe, D'Lo, Dalton with AD, and then probably a Cam or LeBron. But Dalton and D'Lo together, when you pair them with the defender, is actually a positive rating on the floor. So,
interesting. Huh.
Yeah. But the Lakers have not been playing. What they try to do is they try to separate Austin Reaves and D'Lo as much as they possibly can. Right. So a lot of times around like 6 minutes. Yeah. We all knew we should have been doing it from the jump. But around 6 minutes, D'Lo will come in, who could possibly be sixth man of the year now if he keeps it up. D'Lo will come in for either Austin Reaves or LeBron. And, you know, if he does come in for LeBron and he is playing with Austin, Austin will come out pretty quickly and Cardio Gabe will come in and they'll just get to work. So it's kind of where the Lakers are at. But I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Dalton Connect. I'm really, really enjoying it.
So. Yeah,
you just called
me too,
not
from afar.
I wanted to take a look at what his field goal or Dalton Connect's field goal percentage is. 62%. You can't be mad at this kid for a rookie. Do you think he has a chance for rookie of the year?
It's early. I feel like this is named Jerry McCain for the 76ers.
Yeah. Jerry McCain?
I feel like that's probably my pick right now just because he's getting heavy minutes right now.
Okay.
But Dalton Connect, like he, you know, if he keeps it up and he takes more of a role on that team or more responsibility, he definitely could put his name in there.
Okay, let's take a look at this because now I actually need to see. So pulling up his stats right now, Jared McCain is at 15.2 points per game, 2.2 rebounds, 2.5 assists at 47% field goal percentage, which is 57th in the league. Let's pull up Dalton. Also, Devin Castle, or I forget what his name on the
Castle?
Spurs.
Yeah,
Stephon Castle, killing it. Yeah, I thought he's a fantastic player.
He was my favorite pick coming out of the draft.
Yeah,
and I thought the Spurs is such a good place for him, especially with Wemby. Like that's a nice 1-2 punch for the Spurs moving forward.
Yeah.
So Dalton right now is at 9. Well, we can round up 10 points a game. 2 rebounds, 1 assist with 40% from the 3-point line, 41%. So, yeah, right now, I just guess Jared McCain, plus he's getting heavier minutes. Let's see how many minutes a game he's currently getting, Dalton Connect. He's getting about 20.2 minutes per game, where Jared, I'm just trying to think if there
he's
was
probably getting a bit more since Tyrese Maxey's been out.
As of right now, at 13 games played, he's at 21.2. So
not much more.
Only maybe 2 minutes more, but he is averaging 10 more points. So, yeah, Jared McCain probably would be the leader at the moment. I don't know how Zach Edey's been. I feel like he's been kind of in and out.
Yeah, I feel like he's doing better than I thought he would do. But to be fair, I had pretty low expectations. But I think he could be a legitimate NBA player. I think he currently is a legitimate NBA player, but if he can, you know, keep growing, that's very good.
So what's the predictions for tonight, guys? Lakers, Jazz. You can be honest with me, man. You can be honest with me. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? We taking the Lakers, we taking the Warriors, and what is the scores?
Taking the Lakers tonight.
Yeah.
Score? 110-100.
110-100? Okay, yeah. So a good defensive game for the Lakers. What are you thinking, Roman?
I'm absolutely taking the Lakers, and I'm probably leaning towards more of a blowout tonight than anything.
You're an optimistic man.
Yeah. Oh, I have to be.
Optimistic Roman. I love it.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be like 120-105 Lakers.
Okay. Be nasty.
Lauri Markkanen hits the game winner, 111-108. And then LeBron is sitting in the locker room going like this. And he's going to be like, Lauri, yeah, exactly. Lauri's bad boy. You know, you just give him the shot. He's going to take it. 2 weeks, Lauri Markkanen is going to be on the Lakers.
I just don't know what pieces we have that they would take, but I'd love to see it because him and AD would be monsters together.
They got 5 first-round picks from the T-Wolves. I don't even think they care.
The Lakers have 2 first-round picks, 1 unprotected, 1 not, and a lot of guards and forwards.
You just throw in LeBron's unprotected son, and
For sure. I'm giving it a lot. If they said 2 firsts and Bronny for Lauri, absolutely, Bron's doing it.
Isn't
no
there
question
in his contract that he can't be traded though?
Is there?
And Bronny's?
Yes.
The first ever rookie no trade clause.
I'm pretty sure there's some clause.
That would absolutely be crazy.
That would be ridiculous. Dude,
Rich Paul is doing work.
I'm gonna go ahead and take. Yes. I'm gonna take the Lakers, but I'm gonna say it's a nail biter. I'm gonna say it's 115-112.
He just keeps rubbing. He's rubbing his hair for it to come back. 115-112.
115-112 Lakers.
And what time is this pop off? 7?
This is 10 o'clock game your time, 7 o'clock ours.
All right, I'm gonna text you at 1 in the morning when Lauri Markkanen hits the game winner.
It'll be on NBA TV, or if you use promo code BALA, you can get a free game on Meth Streams.
We will provide you the link.
Yo, text this number.
Okay, lastly, guys, before we hop off of here, I got to ask a question. It's my new favorite thing. Who you got in a fight? I was really diving into these today. I got 3 of them, but I'm only gonna use 1 per show now. But we're going girls here. We're going girls. For the girls. Michelle Beadle versus Rachel Nichols.
Beadle.
No hezzy. Just no hezzy. Beadle.
I will pick no one over Beadle ever.
is it a nostalgia thing, or you just think that she's just got that dog in her?
She got that dog in her. She looks like she bites.
Okay. 1 for Michelle Beadle.
I don't know. I feel like Nichols is like a scrappy claw, pull hair. Like anything goes for her in a fight.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't call her Rachel Dime. They call her Rachel Nichols.
This is true. Casey, what you thinking?
Oh, boy.
We got 1 for Beadle. We got 1 for Rach.
Yeah, I'll take Rachel Nichols.
Rachel Nichols?
Yeah, I'll pick her.
I sat there and thought long and hard about this. I really did. I genuinely did. I thought about what was that show that was on Noon? It was I'm pretty sure it was Max Kellerman, Michelle Beadle, and then there was the other guy.
Marcellus Wiley.
Yeah, Marcellus Wiley. What was that show called?
Sports Nation.
Oh my god, yes. Oh my god. That was people will not know that was before there was NBA Today. It's NBA Today, and then there was NBA. What was the one with Rachel Nichols? It was NBA.
Oh, NBA, I'm gonna get my ass kicked by Michelle Beadle / Meth Streams. Bay LA.
Well, before there was the Rachel Nichols show, that ended up being the Malika Andrews NBA Today. Sports Nation was the 12 o'clock show on ESPN. And I remember watching Michelle Beadle back then. And I thought she was crazy. But then I learned about Bubble Rachel Nichols. And I think that if it came down to it, I think I'm taking Rachel Nichols, dude.
I'm so sad.
They're both great at what they do.
Yeah, everyone's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Both fantastic sports writers. I just would be interested to seeing a fist fight. That's all I'm saying. I just think it's really cool.
They're really good at their job. I'd rather see them punch each other.
Next show, I've got 2 analysts lined up that you're not going to want to miss. Not going to want to miss.
Michael Wilbon?
Oh, could you imagine versus Kornheiser? Crazy. That's one for another show. But yeah, we're all going Lakers tonight, except for B Nasty, who is apparently going with the Jazz. So I'm Austin, that's Roman, this is Casey, that's B Nasty, and Lauri Markkanen, if you hit that game winner, I'm gonna be freaking pissed, man. Tune in next time. We'll see you next time, guys. Take care.